You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you, and welcome you into another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner as we continue moving along in the season. The playoffs have gotten started for the smaller classes. The bigger classes have wrapped up the regular season. Fortunately, that means some bad news. We'll tell you about that here coming up in just a little bit. Again, Daniel Versteg with you on this week nine, in season week nine of the KLEM Coach's Corner. We have a full show for you. First off the jump, we're going to have Lamar's community head coach, Ken Bigdahl. Then we'll be chatting with Galen Catholic head coach, Jeremy Schindler. Both those guys are victorious here last night, but one will be a lot happier than the other. Then we'll have Hinton head coach Kadrian Hardison, the Blackhawks, also pick up a win last night. First of all, let's tell you about the playoffs. The scores from yesterday in Class 8 player, fourth-ranked Remsen St. Mary's, a 42-8 winner over West Bend Mallard. The Hawks remain unbeaten as they get to 9-0 on the year. Galen Catholic, we'll be chatting with Jeremy Schindler, middle of the program. They doubled up St. Albert last night in Akron, 48-24. MMCRU's moving on. The Royals defeated Logan Magnolia, 47-14. And in Class 1A, third-ranked Hinton goes all the way to Avoca and defeats AHSTW by a final score of 48-20. Then we go to the regular season, and of course the smaller schools, they are allotted a ninth regular season game if they want it. Akron Westfield took it, and the Westerners won their third game in a row, 28-21 over Lawton Brunson. They finished the year 3-6. Now we get to Class 4A District 1, and we'll explain again the scenario in case you hadn't heard. Lamar's had to win just to give themselves a chance to make the playoffs last night. The Bulldogs got that done. They defeated Storm Lake 49-0, so they took care of business. However, to make the situation better for them and to guarantee them actually a spot in the playoffs, Spencer had to beat Fort Dodge. Well, Fort Dodge got the win. The Dodgers defeated Spencer last night 24-20. That set up a three-way tie for first place in the district. Everybody's beating each other. Lamar's beat Fort Dodge, lost to Spencer. Spencer beat each other. Nobody's got the head-to-head tiebreaker. It goes to what the state has put together, which is a 17-point tiebreaker, basically determining how good have you beaten teams by, basically, throughout the year. Unfortunately, that tiebreaker went Spencer first, Fort Dodge second, Lamar's third. So the Bulldogs are out of the playoffs, but they did still have an opportunity if their RPI was good enough. If they could get their RPI into the top 16 or 15, they could make their way into the playoffs as a wild card. Well, the top 16 RPI teams all qualified in some way. Lamar's finished 17th in the RPI standing, so the Bulldogs will not be making the playoffs this year, unfortunately. So we'll have a great win to chat about with Ken Bigdahl, but he's understandably so going to be disappointed with the outcome of the RPI standings. But again, the Bulldogs miss out on the playoffs by one measly spot. Just a heartbreaking way to end the season. We'll be chatting with Ken Bigdahl about that here in the not-too-distant future. Again, the playoff pairings for the next round, the next couple rounds, they're going to be coming out at 10 o'clock this morning, so we won't be able to chat about them on the Coach's Corner, but we will make sure to relay those to you on social media, the websites, and of course on air during our noon sportscast, so make sure you stay up to date with those once they come out. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Bigdahl. We'll chat about a 49-0 win over the Storm Lake Tornadoes and the end of the regular season for the Bulldogs. Unfortunately, that's coming up next with Coach Bigdahl here on KLEM.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back into this edition of the Coach's Corner on KLEM Radio. It's brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, as well as Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Iowa Barbecue Company, Sitzman Construction, and True Health Chiropractic. Daniel Versteg with you, now joined by the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl. The Bulldogs are victorious to finish their regular season 49-0 over the Storm Lake Tornadoes. Just a dominant win. Unfortunately, the Dogs don't make the playoffs. But, Coach, I want to talk about the game first of all. We talked last week a little bit about what Storm Lake was going to do. This guy comes in throwing for 2,000 yards throughout the season in the first eight games. He's leading the state in every passing category. You hold him to go 7 of 23 for 57 yards passing and an interception. What did you guys do well on defense last night?
Oh, it was just incredible. Our kids just played great. And, you know, just like all those stats that you just threw out, and it's like, okay, as the week went along, we were kind of like, okay. I mean, they've scored everywhere. I mean, they really have, and they've moved the ball on everybody. It didn't matter if it was Spencer, Fort Dodge, whoever they played. They moved the ball. They scored. I think Fort Dodge scored. For some reason, I remember it was 28-50 or something like that, even though they lost. He scores, you know, he throws four touchdowns. And, and you know, you just, by the odds and the percentages, you just know they're going to get one. You just think, okay, they're going to get one. And last night, they did not get one. And I'll tell you what, our back five did what they needed to do, and our front four did what they needed to do. And, you know, I mean, they do have some playmakers. They had a number four, and I don't remember his name, but, man, he could run great routes. And when he got the ball, he was shifty. But you know what? We closed him down. I thought we covered, you know, once we really knew that was their guy and they went to him a bunch last night, I mean, we really just shut him down. And you know, there were times that if he did catch the ball, there were two and three of us there to, you know, make a tackle, make a big hit. And, you know, you just can't say enough of the way our defensive played, because just like I just said a minute ago, the percentages were they were going to score. Yeah. Just even on a, hey, I'm scrambling and I throw it deep, we lose the receiver, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was interesting, too, was at the beginning of the game and even late in the game, they put a 53 in the backfield just as a – another blocker for a full, you know, full type of protection type of a thing, which I hadn't seen that done before either. But, you know, and you know, just like you said, he leads the state and everything because, you know, I think they ran the ball, what, four times? I don't know. Three times last night? I don't know. And 53 carried the ball, a majority of those. So, you know, it was great to see our defense play the way they played.
You got to feel very proud that they had to bring in a sixth offensive lineman just to protect from your defense. And you know, we talked too about, you know, they've been kind of a passing team for the last few years, Coach. But as you alluded to, they had a bit of a bigger, more pocket passing quarterback the last couple of years. This guy was a little bit more shifty, maybe a little bit more mobile, and it. I mean, just by the sheer stats of it, it looks like he couldn't even do that. He couldn't even run for first downs or moving the ball.
Well, I think what, you know, up front, you talk about how, you know, you need a pass rush. And, you know, the kids get in their mind, I got to get up the field. And they go, you know, way below or way above, you know, the first row or the first level, we call it. And what happens is they get upfield so far, the quarterback ducks underneath, and then he's running, right?
Yep.
And so what I thought our two defensive ends did really a nice job of getting to that level and then not carrying it upfield. They kind of came back underneath or kept him in the pocket. Now, he had a couple of scrambles and stuff, and they ran some speed option at us, like you said, because he was a little more athletic and stuff, but than probably their previous, you know, bigger type of a pocket passer like they had a year ago. But, you know, I thought our defensive front really did their job of, you know, the two guys in the middle kind of made sure the pocket didn't get moved, you know, too far upfield and stayed in there where our defensive ends kept him in the pocket for the most part.
Ken Vigdahl is with us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, 49-0 winners over Storm Lake. I'm just looking over the numbers, and I'm just still dumbfounded with how good your defense was. You know, the other number that jumps out to me, Coach, Storm Lake goes 0-for-9 on third downs, and they don't convert a fourth down either. So, I mean, if that drive got to third down last night, it was over. You know, when it comes to, you know, being able to play through an entire defensive possession, now whether that was three and out, or maybe they got a couple first downs on first and second down, or whatever the case may be. You know, just it's week 9 of the season. You guys are fighting for a playoff spot, and you guys are still playing hard and putting forth a full effort on defense, and that's got to make you proud too.
Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, the whole group last night, I mean, and we talked about it a little bit before the game, and we hope we could have went on and stuff like that. There's no doubt about that, but we said, if this is the last time this group is going to be together as a group, as our team, you have to do everything in your power to, when you walk off, say, I've done everything humanly possible that I wanted to do. I played as hard as I humanly could. And that's really what everybody did last night.
I mentioned, too, that, it's a shutout. It's all these kind of things. You also force a couple of turnovers. Tegan Bogue, it looked like, had the interception for you. I want to say that's probably 4 picks for him on the year, Coach. I mean, he's just really turned into a really strong ball-hawking kind of safety. It seems like he just knows where the football is going to be on some plays.
And that's really what you want your safety to be. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The thing about him, he's got speed. And so, you know, you can make up for mistakes with speed. Not that he makes very many mistakes, but
right.
At the end of the day, he can cover from hash to hash, in, you know, like if we're in a cover two, or even if he's a single high in more of a one, you know, middle of the road. We don't really play a cover three, but that's what it would resemble. So, you know, the thing about him is he can cover a lot of ground. And then, you know, like last night, obviously he's playing pass the whole way, but he's been able to come up on run all year too. So, you know, he's really done a nice job of getting a good combination of I know where the ball is going. I can, you know, like if the ball hangs in the air, he's going to get it. And then if they run option or even inside zone, he's there to get the tackle.
Well, we talked about the 0 on the scoreboard. Let's talk about the 49 now. Over 400 yards of offense, 360, 70 of which coming on the ground for you guys. Kind of a contrasting styles, and your style ended up winning out. What was working with you running the football?
Well, and I'll have to give Storm Lake some credit. They did some things defensively that we haven't seen all year. I mean, they, you know, we run that inside zone game, and we like that. And they kind of took, I won't say they took it away from us, but their defensive front, they shifted them and would move them differently than what we probably practiced it and that we've seen on film all year long. But in doing so, they had to give something else up. And what they gave up was a sweep. We probably ran more sweeps last night than we have all year because they packed 7, you know, 6 or 7 inside the tackle box. And when you do that, they were leaving the outside wide open. And I thought our guys did a great job of, once again, blocking on the perimeter. Our tackles were able to get, you know, the way they lined up inside the tackles with their defensive end, we could pass that to the guard. So we actually had one more blocker in the sweep game because the tackle really could get on a backer where they usually are end up on the defensive end. And so we did that. And then, of course, you know, I think Jamie had a couple pulls, you know, just on that inside zone read and stuff like that. So, you know, we were able to, we ran some unbalanced at them and stuff and just kind of kept them, we kind of kept them unbalanced really the whole night of, was it counter? Was it zone? Was it outside in our sweep game? And so that's really what would happen there.
Ken Vigdahl's with us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. I kind of want to expand upon what some of the stuff you just talked about there. When it comes to running the sweep game, Coach, you know, sometimes you can be a tackle and you can do your job by blocking the guy, but if the guy ends up in the backfield and ends up setting enough of an edge, he can still blow up a play even if he's being handled by the tackle. But, you know, when you get your tackle on a backer, you get a little bit more of a size advantage. You get a little bit maybe more leverage. And it sounds like from what you're talking about, Storm Lake was just not able to set an edge against you guys, allowing you to just kind of run free on the outside.
Well, and by moving your defensive tackle from the outside shade of the offensive tackle to the inside shade, we pass that to the guard, and our guards are quick and they're fast. And so we were like in the first half, in the first quarter, it was like, okay, we don't have to mess with him with the tackle because our guard is fast enough to get there. So you're exactly right. Now all of a sudden, you know, you have Aiden Kramer at 300 and some pounds on a backer, and I'll take Aiden every time on a win on something like that. And then, you know, you have Andrew Grant, and then you have Jude Doherty, and then it's really on a sweep as a little bit of a numbers game. And so we would outnumber them one, maybe two on the sweep. And like, I think Tyson even scored a touchdown on a sweep where we go, where we have what we call it our near set, where we have a wing and two receivers out there. And he's really a backside guy that's really supposed to be on the line. But because we move our inside receiver up, he can run motion. And we did that against Denison last week too. And, you know, we just, once again, it's a numbers game on the sweep, and we were able to manipulate our formations to get those numbers in our favor.
And it ended up leading to a 49-0 win. And once again, we'll sound like a broken record, but just about everybody seemed to find the end zone in some way. Bowen Reakin got in there, Tyson Augustine three times, Jaden Nelson, Jamie Sitzman, Jude Doherty. You know, we've talked about it before, but again, Coach, with how many different guys that can, number one, have the opportunity to touch the ball, because some offenses are just designed for one or two guys to make a play, and then number two, to have all of those guys be capable of breaking off a big play. Bowen Reakin had a few big plays, Jude Doherty, Javonte Kabongo ran for one for almost 40 yards, he said. Augustine scores on a sweep. Jamie Sitzman runs for 31 yards. I mean, there's just so many different weapons, and they're all so darn dynamic for you.
Yeah, and they really are. And what's interesting is just watching them run, you know, they're all different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They all run different, and it was awesome. And, like, last night, you know, there were times that it was funny because it was just – there were times when, like, Jamie would cut in the – and the backer would almost fall to the ground because of the cut. And the same way with Giovanni and Jude. And there was some really great cuts on turf last night. And you know, their number four, I'll give him a shout out too, because he made a couple cuts last night for Storm Lake that kind of made us do a double take too. So, but it was a great game to watch. And, you know, our kids just performed at such a high level last night at all different levels and stuff. But just the way we cut on the turf and, you know, just made ourselves be able to get those extra yards that, you know, we needed, or I don't know if we needed them or not, but got us a first down to keep the drive going.
Ken Sparks Community Football on the Coach's Corner. So you get the job done, 49-0 over Storm Lake. Unfortunately, you needed a few things around the state in 4A to kind of go your way. One of those was Fort Dodge losing to Spencer. Didn't happen. Need some teams above you in the RPI to lose. That didn't happen, and so unfortunately the season comes to an end for you guys. You know, I know you didn't find out for sure until later on into the night, but were you able to talk to some guys? What was kind of the feeling like after finding out that there would not be a game here this coming week?
Well, we pretty much knew we had done enough research on it that we pretty much knew that the teams above us, there was only one that was going to be a game that was going to decide our fate, and that was really the Fort Dodge-Spencer game.
Sure.
And so, you know, when Fort Dodge won that, we probably knew with a 99% chance that was going to happen. And so we did our ending ceremony. We kind of knew it. Mm-hmm. And I said, if we got to do it again in a couple weeks or two, that's fine. But, you know, our seniors walked the field down and back, and we line up and we shake every hand of every player with our seniors, and we just give them time. And I'll shout out to our administration for just letting our seniors be on the field, you know, for an extra 30, 40 minutes just to, you know, soak it in.
Yeah, it's the worst part of every season. But, you know, Coach, those seniors, you've been here 4 years now, so you've seen them grow from freshmen to seniors. I mean, just, you know, how special is this class? These guys have been with you throughout their entire high school career.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's one thing, the true football guy will look at it and go, they were 1-7 as freshmen, and now they're, they've been in the last 2 or 3 years of winning seasons, and they were contributors. And this year, what they did this year was amazing, too. And, and you can say, okay, it's about football. But for us, that's just part of it. I mean, the way these kids have grown as just young adults and young men probably makes us prouder, or it does make us prouder than just the football ability that they've acquired over the years. And that's really what our program about. And that's really why nobody wanted to leave last night after the game, and they all stood around with each other forever. And it's perfectly fine. And you know what? When their season's over, to be sad about it, it's okay to cry and, mm-hmm. and be sad and stuff.
And because we've talked about this too, football is kind of the one sport where you don't really get another opportunity to play it. You can always pick a basketball game. You can find some guys and play baseball or softball, but football is really tough to pick up again later in life. So, but you know, a team like this, a senior class like this, it continues to set the foundation, right? We always talk about the foundation of the program and now the standard, they've certainly raised the standard, and now it's just on to the next guys, right? To kind of continue meeting that standard that these guys have set so high.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. You're exactly right. And that's what we want. And, and as the standard gets higher, it gets harder. Mm-hmm. And so like next year, those guys have a higher standard than these guys set. So our standard is constantly going up. And you go back to the seniors 4 years ago that set that standard and the next set and the next set. And that's just what we want our program to be about. And it's about playing great football, and it's about being great in the classroom. And it's just about being a great young man. And that's what we want to, that's what we spend a lot of time talking about. And, being a great teammate, because there's all kinds of teams you're on, and they're going to grow up and they're going to be, fathers and husbands and things like that. And that's where, they probably need to be a greater teammate than what they are right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And your staff, you guys have done such a good job of setting them up for success. Sucks to end the season this way, but I know you'll have the dogs ready to go next fall, and I can't wait for next August already. Looking forward to seeing how you guys do in 2025. Coach, we'll let you go. Appreciate your time as always throughout the season. It's been a pleasure once again, and we'll make sure to chat soon, all right?
Hey, Daniel, I just want to say this. You are a great asset for Plymouth County kids. I'm going to tell you what. I've been around a lot of different broadcasters, and you are the best. You know what's going on with everybody. I mean, it's hard enough for me to know who's got the stats for me, and you know everybody in all of Plymouth County and Clem area. And I just hope people in the area know what a great job you do and how hard you work at it. And I can't appreciate you enough for what you do for Bulldog football.
I appreciate that, Ken. Thank you so much. And I really, really love what I do. So. You do as well, and thanks for the job you do with the Bulldog football program. It's appreciated, and I can't wait for next year.
Hey, talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. That is Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Season comes to an end against Storm Lake. The Bulldogs end the year 6-3. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Jeremy Schindler, head coach of the Jays, joins us to talk about a playoff win last night. That's coming up next on the Coach's Corner here on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jays gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
Are you craving mouthwatering barbecue? Head on over to Iowa Barbecue Company on Plymouth Street in Lamar's. They've got tender ribs, juicy chicken, succulent pork, and sausage smoked to perfection and served hot every Tuesday through Saturday. At Iowa Barbecue Company, you will get the freshest locally sourced meats and great sides such as house-made mac and cheese or coleslaw each and every day. The smoke is rolling every day to ensure you are getting some of the area's best quality and freshest Q around. Get to Iowa Barbecue Company today.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you, and our program each and every Saturday is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Iowa Barbecue Company, Sitzman Construction, and True Health Chiropractic. Daniel Versteg with you. Now, pleased to be joined by the head coach of the sixth-ranked team in the state, the Galen Catholic Jays, and head coach Jeremy Schindler joining us after a playoff victory last night. Galen Catholic defeated St. Albert by a final of 48-24. They're on to the next round. Don't know their opponent yet. We'll figure that out here in an hour and a half. But, coach, first of all, you know, the circumstances, you had to play it in Akron. Oh, well, you guys go out there and still play a great game. Just how do you think the guys, you know, kind of responded to something that was just a little bit more unusual than maybe a regular team had to go through last night?
Yeah, I mean, you know, give credit to our fans. They came out and we had a nice crowd, had a good student section. So, you know, they made it feel like home to us. And, you know, the guys really did a good job of, you know, we left a little earlier just to get to the facilities a little earlier than normal and, you know, just kind of settle into everything. But I thought everything that they did last night was really good. And you know, thanks to Akron for letting us play there. But, you know, I was just really proud of the way our guys responded to that little bit of adversity. But they handled it really well.
Yeah, they played a really good game. And it didn't look like it early on, Coach. St. Albert got driving. Boy, they got all the way down to the red zone. But I think the mantra for your guys last night was bend but don't break. If it sounds cliche, they turned the ball over, and you guys were right there to pounce on it.
Yeah, you know, you know, we told them all, this team does, they do a little bit of both. You know, they can run it, they can throw it. And so we got to make sure we're on point. And, you know, they were hitting their short little quick passes to the flat. They were able to run the ball for 3-4. You know, the thing is, that first drive is we got them in third down a couple times. And that was the frustrating part, was that we gave up those third and mediums or third and longs. And so that was, you know, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot there in that first drive. But when the opportunity presented itself, you know, kind of a mishandled snap, and our guys were there to pounce on it, and you know, then we never looked back.
No, you really didn't look back, because you get that big run from Cale Pearson right out of the get-go. I thought he was going to score, but, you know, getting the passing game going with Cole McCarty and Dylan Pacus is not a bad way to score either. It seemed like you guys were a little bit more willing to go into the passing game early on. What'd you see there that, you know, maybe suggested you could have some success throwing the ball?
Yeah, I mean, part of it was how they were playing us. We knew that the flat area was going to be open the way they played defense. And we knew that if we ran our bootlegs and stuff, that their flat defender, what he did on the first one actually was he flew straight sideways to get out wide to try and get under Dylan Pacus. And Dylan actually did an outstanding job of, he recognized that, and instead of continuing his route, he just stopped and sat right in a big, wide open hole in the end zone. There was no one within like 10 yards of him, and Cole put it on the money. And, you know, so that was a really good, you know, route by Dylan to recognize what the defender was doing, and then Cole to deliver a good ball. And, you know, we just knew that they were going to load the box with about seven dudes, and they had guys who were overhanging, and they were probably going to man us up. And so we had to be willing to go to some of those pass plays to at least loosen them up, and I think we did a good job of that.
Sometimes the best thing to do is just nothing at all, and Dylan does that, finds his way into the end zone for a touchdown. Little did you know, Coach, that'd be the last time he touched the football in the first quarter. St. Albert got moving. They started chewing clock. Some penalties helped them here and there, but gosh, Coach, that drive just didn't want to end. But again, you guys were able to find a way to hold on long enough, and you hold them to three. Just how impressive was that to allow a long drive, but they only get 3 points out of it?
Yeah, you know, and that's something we talk with our guys about is they don't have any points on the board until they either get in the end zone or the ball goes through the uprights with a field goal. And, mm-hmm. and so our guys did a great job. It was an excellent defensive stand there. I think they were inside the five.
Yep.
We had a negative play on first down. We pushed them back to the four. And then we had another negative play. And then all of a sudden, it was a big sack on third down. They're way out of range for going for it on fourth. You know, if they were inside the five, they might have thought about going for it. But at that point in time, we knew they had a good kicker. And we're like, well, they're going to kick it. So holding them to 3 points there was a really big victory for our defense. And, you know, just being able to keep that lead and then obviously capitalize on the next drive.
Yeah, well, and that drive was that next drive was so impressive too, Coach, because you had not necessarily negative plays, but you had two holding penalties right back to back that put you inside your own red zone. It's 3rd and 18, and of course, you know, the natural thing is for Cole McCarty to break off an 88-yard touchdown run, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to call a play to maybe get half the yardage back, and Kale can flip the field with a good punt or something, or maybe if we get close enough, maybe we can dig into our bag of tricks on special teams or something. But, you know, Cole, the offensive line executed it fantastically. Receivers blocked downfield. Cole made one dude miss, and he was out the gate. And you know, that's one of the things. You look at the first half, and it felt like we didn't have the ball very much.
Right.
You know, St. Albert's did a really good job of chewing clock, but our guys took advantage of when we had the ball, we scored. I think we scored on every possession in the first half that we had.
Yep.
So, you know, just a really good job executing there. And they make me look really smart as a play caller when they do stuff like that. So,
we're chatting with Jeremy Schindler, head coach Galen Catholic football. From that point, Coach, St. Albert goes 3 and out. Like you said, you score on the next possession. The next drive, first play interception, you score right after that. We can look back at a play in the game in retrospect and say it's a momentum-shifting play, or that was the play of the game, whatever it might be. Could you feel after Cole's big touchdown run that that was going to kind of shift momentum so, you know, definitively in your favor?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for a running team, and that's what we are for, we're a run-first team, everybody knows that. But we're a big play machine,
yeah.
And we just get huge chunks from our guys, and it's a credit to what the line does, what the receivers do, blocking, you know, downfield and just executing their blocks at the line of scrimmage. But you know, when you rip off those big runs like that, it makes everybody feel almost like you're unstoppable. It's like, all right, go ahead, we'll you can take, you know, 7-8 minutes, chew it off the clock. You know, we're gonna rip off a big one here on two or three plays and score and extend the lead on you. So yeah, those are fun. Those are momentum shifters. We talk about all the time. You got to grab momentum. And when you grab momentum, you don't want to let it go.
And it'd be one thing too, Coach, if, you know, all of these big plays that you guys get in the running game were just, oh, he found a hole and he was untouched. But a lot of these runs, Kale, Cole, Jake, whoever's touching the football, even some guys in your passing game, they're breaking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tackles, 6 tackles sometimes. You guys just refuse to go down no matter who's got the ball.
Yeah, that's the weight room. I mean, that is 100% the weight room. And, you know, there's been so many times this year, Cole or Kale or Jake or Dylan or whoever's touching the ball comes back and says, Coach, they can't tackle me, man. They're not strong enough. And and they just have that. And who knows, maybe they, you know, they probably can tackle you, but there's a belief that with these guys that they're not going to be taken down, you know. And if it is, you're going to have two or three guys to do it. So that's really what I credit that to. Just to, they just run with an attitude, and their linemen love to see that, you know. So that gets everybody going.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch. Kale had a really impressive run that broke so many tackles. You guys are up 28-3 at half, and then you come out in another big play. I mean, it just kind of gets silly, but that's what you guys are. You guys are a big play team, and it's just so impressive how almost easy some of those runs look that happen. Cole breaks off one that goes almost 70 yards for a touchdown at that point.
Yeah, you know, we have a for the untrained eye, they run the ball with Cole, they run the ball with Kale. Mm-hmm. You know, but we do so many different things in our run game. We have such a diverse run game, and if you want to be a run first team, you almost have to, because defenses are going to try and take away your fastball. They're going to try and take away, and that's what St. Albert did last night. They took away our inside zone. Mm-hmm. I didn't call inside zone. Maybe I think I called it twice, and the only reason I called it was because it was on the goal line. And I thought, well, we can get 2 yards. But I knew inside zone wasn't going to be a big play for us because they had too many guys in the box. So we went to some other things. We went to our counter game. We went to our power read. And you know, our guys just, we have that ability to, well, if you're going to take this away, we're going to go to this. And the guys do a great job executing every single scheme that we have.
Jeremy Schindler's with us, the head coach of the 6th-ranked Galen Catholic football team, a 48-24 winner over St. Albert last night in the round of 32. Again, just a really dominant performance, especially on the defensive side. We didn't talk about it a whole lot, but you guys forced, we talked about the one turnover, but you forced the interception in the second quarter. You hold them to a turnover on downs in the second half. Yeah, they got a few touchdowns on you late, Coach, but how impressed were you with the defensive performance overall? When we talked about in the pregame, there were so many things they could do offensively, and it seemed like not many of them worked consistently for them.
Yeah, I thought, especially starting in that, like you said, after that big long touchdown run, the 88-yarder by Cole in the second quarter, our defense played really, really good from there until probably, I would say, the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then we started to sub some different guys in. We're trying to get, trying to get Kane more reps at middle linebacker, trying to get some of our younger secondary players in there to just get them reps, because we know we're going to need them as we go down the road here and continue on. So, we do have a couple things. Coach Ellen's going to be the first one to tell you. He's like, we got to clean up a couple things in the secondary. There's some things that that we got to get a little better at, but overall, the defense did a great job of understanding the game plan, you know. And when they did score, we made them drive the field,
yep.
And that was the
just
big thing. And it was gonna, you know, I think they scored there in the third quarter, but it took 5-6 minutes. Yep. Well, when you're down, you know, by 3-4 scores, if you're taking 5-6 minutes to score, well, I guess that's fine, because then when we get the ball back, we'll just score right away and you know, extend the lead. Yeah, definitely a few things to clean up in the secondary on defense, but overall really happy with the way they played.
Yeah, I was just going to point that out too, because, you let them score, but they had to earn it. I mean, they were not just picking off big plays against your freshmen. They were still having to work really hard to find the end zone. One of the things too, I guess, if we want to look at the things you can work on, and because I don't mind pushing a Coach Westhoff's buttons, Coach, they were able to get some long kick returns on you. I mean, special teams wise, kick coverage, is that something that's got to be looked at here this week in practice?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been that Achilles heel of our special teams. You know, every other department in the special teams does a pretty good job for us. And for the most part, the kick coverage does pretty decent, but we just have to work on throttling down a little bit. We get past their blockers, and then we just got such a head of steam. There was a couple times last night we just ran right past the ball carrier. So we got to work on maybe throttling down just a little bit before we get to that ball carrier, being able to move laterally. Give them credit. They had a really good kick return scheme, and they put some pretty special athletes back there. And so we'll take a look at some things this week and clean that up. But, you know, it's just one of those things we got to keep working at. We'll look at film and show those guys, hey, when you get to this point, you got to throttle down and be able to move laterally and make a play on it.
So. Yeah, and the nice thing is, like you said, it did not ultimately impact how the game turned out. You still get the 48-24 win, and you guys are on to the next round where you guys will host – it will be at Jim Lorenzen Field, so it will be in town coming up Friday night. Going to have November playoff football in Lamar's. Can't wait for it. Like we talked about right off the top, we don't know your opponent. But, at this point, Coach, there's a lot of things you do need to learn about your opponent. Don't get you wrong. But is there a lot of this, too, at this point in the season where, you know, we've gone on over so many different schemes throughout the regular season that sometimes it's just nice to – make sure we clean up our kitchen before we worry about, you know, the somebody else's house?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's priority number one, is to go in, you know, we watch film today and we clean up the little mistakes that we can and just talk about those and, you know, and enjoy this one. But, like, hey, it's on to the next opponent right away. And you know, the coaches will do their homework and over the weekend, and we'll have something ready for them on Monday to you know, start preparing for. But, yeah, clean up our little mistakes and just continue to get better at what we do. You know, we're not going to change. We are who we are, and you know, that's just continuing to get better at what you do is the way you win football games in November.
Well, hopefully there's more where that came from. We'll have your next round playoff contest right here on KLEM. So looking forward to it. Coach, we'll let you go and let you wait out the release a little bit longer. Appreciate your time. Congrats on the win, and we'll chat this coming week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. Jeremy Schindler, head coach of the 8-1 Galen Catholic football team on the Coach's Corner. We'll come back and chat with another playoff winner. Kadrian Harderson, head coach of Hinton, joins us next on KLEM.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best. Because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic Lamar's. Dr. Jared Langle and his wife Sarah look forward to helping you on your journey to true health with a holistic approach to chiropractic care. Dr. Jared will address the root cause of your symptoms and guide you through mindful movement and proper nutrition. And discover the health benefits and relaxation through infrared sauna sessions. Discover True Health Chiropractic, across from Four Brothers, Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Now pleased to be joined by the head coach of the number 3 ranked team in the state, the Hinton Blackhawks, and head coach Kadrian Harderson. Moving on to the next round of the Class 1A playoffs. They get a 48-20 victory on the road at AHSTW, the team that knocked Hinton out of the playoffs in Hinton last year. Coach, first of all, after last year's first round disappointment, I know getting to the next round was a massive goal for you guys. Just how proud are you of the guys to take care of business just in general, number one, and number two, do it on the road on such a long road trip?
Yeah, absolutely. I told the guys that after the game, you know, I just couldn't be more proud of the way that they just approached this whole week and this whole day, and really to see it come to fruition, you know, from the team breakfast this morning. You know, it's one of those days, again, we didn't have school, and the last time that happened, we played our worst game of the year and took our only loss. So, you know, they completely changed their attitude going into today. You know, waking up, team breakfast, team walkthrough, getting on the bus, stopping halfway, stretching. They just bought into everything that we were trying to sell to them this week. And it came to fruition, like I said, with a big dub. You know, the boys played inspired football. They played Blackhawk playoff football. It was really what it looked like, a team that, you know, physically wanted to impose their will on the opponent. And yeah, like you said, losing last year, there's definitely a revenge factor there. They had that bad taste in their mouth, and they've been waiting 365 days to get it out, and they kind of took it out on them tonight.
Well, they certainly did. You guys get up, you know, huge score there early on. It was 21-0 early on in the game. So, Coach, not only did you play Blackhawk playoff football, but it looked like you guys played it right from the opening kickoff too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was our whole game plan going in, was we weren't going to feel this one out. You know, we were going to be the aggressor, won the coin toss, took the ball. We felt real good about our first script, and the boys executed it to perfection. You know, we were able to jump all over them, and really I think that set the tone for the whole game. You know, I think it put a lot of doubt in HSTW's mind that, you know, this is going to be a pretty tall mountain for them to climb. And our boys executed very well, you know, up front. Couldn't be more proud of the way that offensive line played. After an injury to really our best lineman, Jacob Bishop, last week, he was unable to suit tonight. And just had a couple juniors, Landon Hanks and Colton Hall, step up and take his place. And, you know, it was full throttle ahead, didn't skip a beat. So that was really great to see them come together and get the job done from five juniors.
Yeah, just a really impressive showing. And you talked about how you guys kind of scripted things early on. Obviously, don't need to ask you the script in detail, but what were you trying to accomplish early on in the game offensively? Because it clearly worked. You run for over 300 yards, and you didn't really skip a beat all night.
Yeah, we just felt like we had put on tape for the past two or three weeks just a very similar offense, a very very basic formation, not a lot of motions and shifts and pre-snap deception and then post-snap deception. So we, you know, we kind of decided, all right, this is what they've seen for the past 3 weeks. This is who they think we're going to be. And we just kind of wanted to flip that script a little bit and show them something that we knew for sure they weren't prepared for. And like I said, the boys executed that. They bought into that all week and they made it look real good tonight.
We're chatting with Kadrian Harderson, the head coach of Hinton Blackhawk football, defeating AHSTW 48-20 in last night's round of 32. You know, running the football, like we just kind of talked about there, the key to your success. What kind of things were you able to see when you lose a guy like Jacob Bishop on the line? You can probably expect that the offensive line or the running game might take a little bit of a hit, but it looked like it just kept going in stride.
Yeah, you know, I think a big part of that is the rest of the seniors in that offensive backfield kind of picking up the leadership slack, so to speak. You know, Gabe, obviously, at the quarterback position has done a tremendous job all year of kind of orchestrating our offense. And he just took a bigger leadership role of making sure everybody up front knew what was going on, whether it was the pass pro scheme or whatever run scheme we happened to be running on that play. He really did a great job of making sure everybody was on the same page. You know, and then the guys in the backfield, too, they know, okay, you're losing your best offensive lineman. Like, your outputs have to increase. You have to be even better at what you do to make up for some of that slack. And I thought Brogan Lake and Tommy Tanner just had a tremendous night last night, whether it was kicking defensive ends or leading up in the power game. They just played a heck of a game. You know, those are two guys that are kind of unsung heroes. They don't get a whole lot of carries, Brogan more than Tommy. But, man, they do a lot of good things in the run game, opening things up for Cole Friesen and Gabe Anderson. And, yeah, we were able to hit some big plays. So, yeah, just a lot – definitely a team effort, you know. And then, of course, the guys on the outside. Anytime you're talking about being able to run the ball, you got to have great blocking on the outside if you want to spring a couple. And we were able to do that with guys like Logan Kempema, Kyle Leary, Caden Barrett. You know, they were tremendous, selfless all night, selling themselves for the run game, knowing that they're not going to get a lot of balls in the pass game. And it was not about them. It was about us getting the job done. So that was just great to see. Great to see, no matter who had the ball or, you know, was getting the glory, so to speak. It really didn't matter. It was all about getting the win for the team.
Yeah, and that extends from offense to defense, Coach, too, because, you know, it 20 points, okay, whatever, you know, however they get it, not a big deal. I know there was kind of a flag and a big play there at the end of the first half, but for the most part, boy, the defense seemed to lock in. You forced three interceptions. You got to be very pleased in that regard.
Oh, I couldn't be more proud of that defense. I tell you what. So the reality is AHSTW has – two of the most athletic kids I think I've ever coached against in that backfield. And every time they touch the ball, you just kind of hold your breath and you hope you make a tackle, because they are one missed tackle away from taking it to the house. And we did a great job of pursuing the football all night. That was the emphasis throughout the week. We had to be tremendous at getting multiple bodies and hats to the ball, and the boys did a great job of that. And then every once in a while, you're going to have to make one-on-one tackles in space. And I thought we had a lot of guys on the edge step up and do just that. Mark Gant, you know, Mark Gant's a kid who started the year at cornerback, and tonight he was playing linebacker, and he's played everywhere in between. He just does everything we ask of him, and he does it at 110%. And yeah, he was a difference maker tonight. He was an absolute difference maker tonight. Him and Brogan Lake, Tommy Tanner, playing those three interior linebacker positions. really shut down the interior run game, which their offense is predicated on. They can then get their play action pass going. And then on the edge, you know, with their running back number four, man, that kid is a burner. And I thought Kyle Leary and Gabe Anderson and Cole Friesen just did a tremendous job of making open field tackles, big stops when they needed to. And yeah, we could talk about, you know, some of the flags and some of the bad positions we put ourselves in. But you know what? It's playoff football. You're not playing anybody that doesn't deserve to be there. And they're good, too. And they're going to get some plays on you. And it's all about how can you respond after that. And I thought we showed a lot of resiliency. And especially, like you said, you know, being able maybe when your backs are up against the wall to take the ball away and kill momentum that they were producing. So, yeah, great job on the back end, you know, from Logan Kempema to Carver DeGroat. To Cole Friesen having a huge pick six there in the second quarter to really kill momentum that it felt like they were starting to gain. So very proud of the team effort. Again, played as one unit. Didn't matter who was making the play. We're all doing our job.
Kadrian Harderson joining us here on the KLEM Coach's Corner with a 48-20 win over AHSTW. You know, responding, we've talked about that at times with you throughout the season, whether it's wins or losses, however it may be. But, you know, you give up that score before the half and you come out and things kind of slow down a little bit, but you're able to find the end zone in the third quarter and get a couple more in quarter number four. Just, you know, what does it say about the guys that, your team, it seems like, yeah, they might get punched in the mouth, you know, kind of like, you know, last week too, but whenever it comes to shove, you know, you guys are going to have a response.
Yeah, you know, I think that just speaks so highly to their mettle, to the character, to what these kids are made of. You know, they have dedicated themselves to getting themselves to this position since last year was over. I mean, from the time spent in the weight room to the time spent in the offseason to the intensity of the lifts and the workouts, it's all been for this moment. And I think you really felt that tonight. You saw them play at a different level, at a different gear. And it just shows how important this is to them and how much they'll be willing to fight, you know, for one more week of practice, for one more opportunity on a Friday night. You know, when you're senior heavy, and you have a lot of seniors, they really start to feel that. You feel that desperation and that urgency in it. It comes out in the way that you prepare and the way that you practice and the way that you play on Friday night. And that's what we saw last night. You know, it was a group of seniors that were unwilling to let this be their last game. And anytime, obviously, you're led by your seniors. Yeah, that's a good thing when you're playing high school football. 18-year-olds are a big advantage over 16-year-olds. So, very proud of that resiliency, that toughness, that character, that mettle that they're made of. They really let it show last night.
And you certainly should be proud. They played a really good game, and now you, like you said, you get another week of practice. You get another bit of time to be with them. Unfortunately, when we're talking to you this morning, we won't know your matchup for another hour or so. But
yeah, that's right. I'm getting antsy.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I just can't wait for the next pod, all that kind of stuff to come out.
Yep.
Regardless of the opponent, though. Could you think of some things that, you know, you guys need to take care of? And, you know, what's it take as you get further along into the postseason, the teams start whittling down to make sure you guys are prepared for whichever team the state throws at you?
Yeah, you know, I think at this point in the year, it's just a war of attrition. You know, if you don't know how to play football by now, you're not going to learn how to play football magically. I mean, you know what you're doing. It's more about, can we get your body and your mind ready to play a game on Friday night? You know, we've got a few kids that are banged up and, you know, they don't want to hear it. But the reality is, I don't need you to practice. I need you to be ready on Friday, you know. And so that's really what it's about is getting high school kids to understand, you know, your body and your mind are the most important things that you have right now. We have to take care of both. So it's going to take an immense level. Whoever we play, it's going to take an immense level of focus in preparation, whether they're, you know, full go at practice or shooting towards Friday, whatever that happens to be. It's just going to take an elite level of preparation and focus. And that's what wins playoff football games. If you can do that throughout the week, you got a really good chance to execute on Friday night.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing how you guys do in executing next week. We'll let you go and let you be antsy until the release comes out. We appreciate your time as always, Coach. Congrats on the win, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Daniel. Again, appreciate everything you do.
No, it's my pleasure. That's Kadrian Harderson, the head coach of Hinton Blackhawk football. We'll come back and wrap up the Coach's Corner after this here on KLEM.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today. 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner one final time here on KLEM Radio. It's been brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Iowa Barbecue Company, Sitzman Construction, and True Health Chiropractic. My thanks, as always, to our coaches joining us, Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community, Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler, and Hinton head coach Kadrian Harderson. Always a pleasure to chat with those three gentlemen, and they thankfully a couple of them will be moving on. We'll have some playoff football for you next week, Galen Catholic's game. Of course, to be determined, we'll find out within the next hour or so from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and we'll relay that to you however is possible. Social media, we'll have that for you on our Twitter page, at KLEM Sports. We'll post it up on the website as well, KLEM1410.com. You can check out the sports schedules, the team schedules there. We have them up for you at that point. And then, of course, we'll read them off on our noon sports update. That'll air at 12:45. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep you up to date on where everybody's going in Plymouth County. But again, the team's still alive. You have MMCRU and Galen Catholic in Class A. Remsen St. Mary's on in Class 8 player. And Hinton is moving on in Class 1A as well. Playoffs are Friday night next week at 7 o'clock. The round of 16. Until then, we'll say so long. We do have some postseason volleyball for you this week. Coming up on Monday night, the Hinton Blackhawk volleyball team. They host West Lyon in a regional semifinal. We'll have a 7 o'clock first serve. You can catch the contest right here on KLEM. And then assuming Hinton is to win that game or Akron Westfield moves on and Hinton doesn't, whatever the situation is, we could have some more postseason volleyball for you Wednesday night with a region final here on at KLEM at 7 o'clock. We'll keep you posted, of course, at that point. Then again, on Friday night, Galen Catholic playoff football can be heard right here on KLEM. So until next time, we'll say so long. This is Daniel Versteg. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner, and it's been right here on KLEM Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your Saturday and a great rest of your weekend.